Today on Real Radio.
That is called holiness. A life devoted to God. Well, my wife wasn't around. Doesn't matter, God's around. Well, my husband was away. It doesn't matter, God was there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through 2 Corinthians. Verses 12 through 24 of the first chapter contains an assurance about God's promises that when he says he will do this or that, it will happen. Indeed, reassuring words for the true believer. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called When God Says, I Promise.
Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that when we would be witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth, the word witness there is an amazing word. Acts 1:8, when he says, you shall be witnesses to whom? I'm not asking you to where. To where we know. To Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the world. Who are we to be witnesses of or to whom? Look, it's capital M right there. Jesus. He's saying, I want you, listen, I love this. I want you, Christian, to get on out there into that world. And I want you to be a witness to me. What does that mean? Well, you guys know this because you were up early. Did you see the moon? Did you see the moon rise last night? Oh my, I don't know if I've ever seen it that big. It was big, coming up, and in the middle of the night, I looked up, I went out in the backyard, it was big again. We had shadows in our backyard from the moon. And then it was setting, it was so amazing, I took a picture of it. It's fantastic. You said, what are you talking about the moon for? Because the moon ain't nothing without the power of the sun. There is no power to the moon. But it was casting shadows last night. I understand that. But in all honesty, the moon wasn't casting shadows. If you were using a photometer, or if you could send a laser beam back on the wavelength of light, guess what would have happened? You'd have been in your backyard, sent the laser, following the light beam upstream, it would have hit the moon, bounced back, you would have seen it shoot across the sky and disappear over the night horizon and head right toward the sun that you couldn't see in the black of the night, because the moon only reflects the power of the sun. And Jesus is saying, when you go out into the world, you are to reflect my power, my glory, my brilliance. That's a Christian. To shine in this world. Listen, all we're supposed to do as believers is be grand reflectors of the glory of God into our culture. And where are we supposed to shine that light, church? Everywhere. Everywhere. Jesus is saying, you be that reflection light of me to the world. What a great truth that is. In 1 John 4:17, the Bible says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have, or that we may have, boldness in the day of judgment when we stand before Jesus in that last day. Why? How? Because as he is, what does it say? So are we in this world. That is awesome. The Christian should be illuminated. And Paul is teaching us that his conduct, he didn't have to apologize for it. Verses 13 to 14, we learn this. It's based upon his person regarding his sovereignty. God is sovereign. Verse 13 says, for we are not writing any other things that you to you than what you read or understand. Now, I trust you will understand even to the end. Understand this. He's saying, church at Corinth, follow this all the way through. Don't be deceived. As also you have understood us in part. He's saying this. Guys, I love this. Church, listen. He's saying, you know my life. You've watched what goes on in this ministry of Paul's. You know the ministry team. Judge us according to our conduct and our words. Match the words as you've learned from the beginning, as you've known in part thus far. He's saying, as you've watched us thus far, Watch us unto the end. This is good news. Pastor, yeah, but doesn't that take a commitment? Yeah. Isn't that, listen, a little concerning that there's so many eyes upon us as Christians? Yeah. Do you know what it's called? Listen, that's called accountability. Amen. Let me put it absolutely dead on, crystal clear. And if I offend somebody, this is a godly offense. I mean it. Where should I look to convince you how much I mean it? When Elijah was in the wilderness, to whom was he accountable to when he was alone? When Noah and his culture was the only one, to whom was he accountable to? When Paul was in the wilderness of Arabia after his conversion, alone, the Bible says, for 3.5 years, to whom was he accountable to? Don't get me wrong. As husbands and wives, we are to be accountable to one another. Outside of that, we should be accountable to friends, biblical friends, godly friends. But if you don't have a wife or a husband, and if you don't have any friends, and if you're banished to the gulag of Siberia for being a Christian, who are you going to be accountable to? Some people, when God is, or a representation of God is out of their sight, they cast off all restraint. You know what? This weekend we prayed, last Thursday and Friday. 400 women from this church, they're away this weekend at the women's retreat. That means there's, let's say they're all married. They're not, but let's say they're all married. That means 400 men are free from their wives this weekend. You say, what are you implying? I don't know, but it is interesting to note that when the wives are not here, when the women's retreat takes place, it is the lowest tithing of the year on the Sunday that they're gone. Did you know that? That's inside information. When the women go on a retreat and they're not here, the tithing at church dips. They're not all single, you know. So where's the man? Where's the man? Where's the husband writing the check or tithing? I don't know. I'm just saying. But what else goes on? Well, my wife's away, man. What does that mean? Can you be alone, banished even, to the Mojave Desert, and be faithful to God in your thoughts, faithful to God in your words and in your actions? A Christian, a believer, like no other time, in my opinion, in the history of America, in the history of the church, the Christian needs to practice the presence of God in their day-to-day life, if someone's watching or not. That is called holiness, a life devoted to God. Well, my wife wasn't around. Doesn't matter, God's around. Well, my husband was away. It doesn't matter, God was there. And Paul is saying, our conscience is clear. God is sovereign. And he says in verse 14, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you also are ours. Oh, look at, in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's simply saying that when Christ comes back, our conscience is clear, you guys. When Christ comes back, we are going to be able to stand and look at Jesus in the face and say, Lord, we did not shun to give unto them the full counsel of God's word. We gave them the truth, warts and all, pain, encouragement, correction. We gave it all to them, that they might grow strong in the word of God. When Paul uses the word boast, he's taken it from the practice of the first century era, actually even before that, out of the Roman Empire. Watch this. According to military law, a Roman general, if he vanquished an enemy that had 5,000 warriors or more in opposition to that general, if that general beat 5,000 or more of the enemy and took possession of their territory, a record was declared, that general would put his foot on the throat of the general of that other army and the magistrate, be it a king. Are you with me, everybody? And it sent the picture, Rome has just conquered. The Corinthians knew this. The number that qualified a general to be recognized by the emperor in a public display at the forum, many of you have been with us at the forum in Rome, at the Circus Maximus, the emperor would come out of his palace and he would give homage to the general. As the general made his parade down the main avenue into the Roman forum, then into the Circus Maximus, watch, that general would be in a gold-plated, gold-gilded chariot pulled by white horses, and behind him would be his son or sons, his children, the general, the victorious general. Behind them would be the general of the defeated army and the magistrate or king of the defeated territory. And then all of the booty, you know, all of the treasures, all of the gold and all of the stuff. And then they would have, watch this, they would have the vanquished hooked in the nose with chains, and they would be pulling them. Where? To where? To the Colosseum. They would turn animals loose, and they would have, Rome would go nuts. They would love it. Here's the fun part. Rome set up a rule. You have to conquer and present under captivity at least 5,000 of those vanquished. When he uses the word boast, the word means a Roman general who vanquishes 5,000 or more. Do you know what Paul is doing here? And if we're a quick reader, we'll miss it. He's calling their attention to the day of Pentecost, to the week of Pentecost. Do you remember when Pentecost came and Peter got up and preached the gospel? Anybody remember how many people got saved at the southern steps of the temple? How many? 3,000. Then there was another preaching. Guess how many got saved at the other preaching? 2,000. When Christ, after Pentecost, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel went forth, 5,000 people got saved in the first week. What is Paul drawing their attention to? Jesus captured those who had been bound by Satan. They were once enemies of the cross. They were now converted. He didn't vanquish them to death. He delivered them from hell. And he presents them, and here's the cool part, I think is cool, that in the belief of Victoria, you ever heard of Victoria? Is your name Victoria? Did you know that you're named after a Roman god or goddess? Victoria, the goddess of victory. Guess what? She has a Greek name. Do you know what her Greek name is? Her Greek name is Nike. And Nike, or Victoria, would bless you if you vanquished the enemy, in this case, Jesus vanquished death and rescued us from hell in the grave, that the goddess would bless your offspring to follow in your footsteps. Paul uses Roman understanding to the Greek Corinthians to get them to see if you follow Jesus Christ, then you can follow in the wake of his great victory because you are the heirs of salvation. And all power has been given to you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And as you go preaching the gospel, listen, there are those snatched from the crown of Satan and placed in the heart of Christ. What a tremendous picture that is on the sovereignty of God. And he's drawn their attention to that truth. No wonder why the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares or besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What an awesome thing that is. What a tremendous statement that is. We're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Point number two, verses 15 to 19, it's probably as far as we'll get today. When God says, I promise, look at this. The promises of God, it's founded upon his Immutability. Write the word down. So that's a big word. That's a great word. There is no other thing or person that the word immutability applies to. Did you know that? In a sense, you could say, some of you who are saying, well, wait a minute, I'm an engineer and I've taken math. Math is, in the sense, immutable. Kind of okay in the physical realm. You know, that's why we don't like math so much. Did you know that math is perfect? Math doesn't change. Einstein said that math reminds us of God because it doesn't waver. It's dead on. It's like a hint. Immutable means it cannot change. When God makes a promise, he cannot change. He can't change his mind. Isn't that good news? When you read the Bible, and as Paul's going to tell us in a moment, when we see the promises of God, they're yes in Christ. And you see the word there, it says, and amen. It's very interesting, and we'll study it next time together. The word literally means that when you read or hear a promise given to you, look, by God. Okay, there are this number is not, some people differ on this number, but there's over 2,000 promises in the positive given to us by God in his Bible. Now watch this. When we get back together, but I want to put it in your heart now because it's too precious to pass up. When the scripture says that the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen, they are yes, meaning they don't change. Because God is immutable, watch, church, I want you to be militant about what I'm going to say. I want you to get a little growly over this. Because it is impossible for God to say anything other than the absolute truth. God cannot lie. It is impossible. Oh, okay, so your God cannot do something. This is true. He cannot sin. Yep, you got us. Busted. Our God cannot sin. When he says to you a promise, you are commanded, and next time together, we'll look at it in detail. You are commanded. I'm just talking to the Christians right now. You are commanded by God to take the promise and shout or understand the Hebrew word, amen. Amen means it is firm, it is a fact, it is true. When someone says amen, they are saying that is firm, that is a fact, that is true. The word means more than that. It shouldn't, and it's not to leave our mouth unless, listen, we agree to say it is true, it is a fact, it is firm. I stake my life on it, I live it. Wow, this is what we're going to go to next time. Listen to that. When someone says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. A, that's a promise. B, the person who hears it, listen, this separates the sheep from the goats, and that's no joke. The sheep, God's children, who hear his voice and follow him, they hear that, and they say, amen. I am taking that truth, which is firm, sure, and assurance, it's a fact, I make that my own. I take it. Have you heard people say, just claim it, brother, just claim it? Now, in the context of how you and I have been brought up, that's not what I'm talking about. But you know what? It's actually what that word means. That's where it's probably twisted from. Oh, just claim it! Well, let me tell you this. When God says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you say amen, you know what? When you say amen, you're not saying, right on, God, right on. You're not saying that. You're not saying, that's nice. How nice. You're not saying that either. You are saying, That is true. It's true for me. I'm going to live that truth in my life. I just made that scripture the reality of my life. And you build your whole existence not on wishful thinking, not on 10-step program to happiness. You are no longer looking to Paul the Apostle or Billy Graham, the Pope, or me, or that husband or that wife or those parents to be your foundational truth. You are looking unto the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. And when you read the scripture, this separates the spiritual men from the spiritual boys. You read that and you say, that is truth from the Word of God, and that is my life. I'm staking my life on that promise. And we have got to start doing this, Christian. It's biblical Christianity. It's required for our faith to flourish. And we need to get with God's program. Amen. We really do. When God says, listen, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, we are to do our part to pull that off. And we would say, yes, amen. That means I'm going to do that thing, God. I'm going to live that. I'm going to speak that. I'm going to do it. Powerful things we're going to be learning from Paul. Powerful things indeed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. In a lesson called When God Says, I Promise. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. When God Says, I Promise is actually a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies through this part of Scripture. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now we have Pastor Jack right here in studio with us. And Pastor Jack, before we go real quick, you have a lot of places on this earth to teach and preach, and this is one that I want to follow you along on. Hawaii, what's going on? Tell me.
Come on, let's go. Actually, we're going to be having a great, great time. We're going to be getting together on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 21st to the 23rd, at an event that is being hosted right there in Honolulu, and it is called Summer Lights. And it's going to be a great time. Listen to this, everybody, and I hope that you make time to come on out and join us. Friday night, August 21st. I'm going to have the opportunity to address a gathering regarding an evangelistic message. If you bring someone out to this get-together, we're going to be preaching the gospel. I've got the honor to do that. And we're going to give a great and exciting invitation for your loved ones, your friends, your co-workers to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, listen, I got two really good friends, great brothers, who are right here in the Southern California area, mind you. Saturday night, August 22nd, my good friend John Randall. Pastor John's going to be delivering his message, and then a home run hitter when it comes to preaching the gospel. Everybody knows Greg Laurie. Love him. In fact, Davey, Greg Laurie led me to the Lord on June 20th, 1977.
Yep.
Sunday night, August 23rd, Greg Laurie at 6 p.m. is going to be giving a message. So listen, three nights of opportunity for you to bring a friend to hear the gospel. I'll be doing Friday night, John Randall Saturday night, and Greg Laurie Sunday night. Listen, look forward to seeing you there. I would love to meet you in person. Make plans to attend.
And what about that Sunday morning? What's coming up?
You know, I have a cross to bear, a burden to carry.
What's that?
That is, I've got to teach the Word of God, the Bible, at North Shore Christian Fellowship in Haleiwa. Oh, you know, those of you who have never been, you don't quite exactly know what I'm excited about or what Davey's excited about. For those of you who have been to the North Shore of Oahu, North Shore Christian Fellowship is a great gathering. I'll be there Sunday morning, August 23rd. At the old Haleiwa Gym, and that's on King Kamehameha Highway, in the little village of the town of Haleiwa, and we're going to have a great time. Come on out. Service time is 9 a.m., and again, I would love to meet you, love to hang out, and bring someone. Bring someone to that service, and if you're in the North Shore, you know exactly where that is, but if you're in Waikiki area or Mililani Town, just a short drive, would love to see you there. Again, come on out. August 23rd, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. at North Shore Christian Fellowship.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.